Hey, do you guys like video game news and commentary? Do you like it twice a week? Do you like it in half-hour chunks? Do you like me? Oh man, do I have a combination for you. Check out the new video game podcast on the Frog Pants Network called Boop, B-O-O-P. You can find it at frogpants.com/boop. All of the subscription information is there. You get it on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, we got you covered. That's video game news you can use on the Boop Show, twice a week on the Frog Pants Network. Go to frogpants.com/boop for more. Thanks, everyone. Coming up on TMS, Robin Williams was a legend.
Let's get a report on Vegas.
How come all the hipsters are in Salt Lake City all of a sudden?
What did the Turkish man say when he saw a two-headed dolphin?
Florida braces for the biggest natural disaster nightmare ever.
Better Call Saul, teaser, seen in the wild.
Game of Thrones killed off another actor.
Damn it. Fitness geek.
Jury duty.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Except probably not going to have fitness geek.
Be careful. This place is crawling with biker scouts. Don't worry. They don't mess for us. You are.
From Kenner's Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection, new Wicket W. Warwick and Princess Nisa each sold separately.
Quiet, Nisa. Here comes a biker scout. Ayala! Let's go. Yibanga! He's gaining on us.
New Wicket W. Warwick and Princess Nisa each sold separately from Kenner's Star Wars Return of the Jedi collection.
I don't see how that's a party.
This is the Morning Stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
It is what the doctor ordered. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to TMS, the morning stream for Monday. No, Tuesday. I got to get my day straight. Tuesday, August 12th, 2014. I'm joined with and by Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Kibunga.
Kibunga. Yub, yub.
Yub, yub.
Those kids were terrible. Terrible. You know what? I mean, we were kids, so it didn't seem wrong to us, but that movie's like kind of dumb, really. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff in it. But
yeah,
it's not, you know, it's a Muppet movie.
Right. Only a handful of people would probably say it's the worst of the original trilogy.
Yeah. Well, I know one person who's currently claiming otherwise and is.
I know.
I think doing it just to be contrary.
You don't rip on Empire Strikes Back. You don't. You do not touch Empire Strikes Back.
It's a hallowed position in the pantheon of Star Wars movies. Come on now.
Yeah.
We're here. Brian's back from Vegas. Hi, Brian.
I am. Hello.
Hello.
Got back late last night.
Fresh as a daisy, right? Feeling good?
Fresh as a daisy. Well rested and
We'll talk about your 10 hours with the bad nerdtacular question creating friend. Don, we'll get to that.
Let's not call him the bad nerdtacular question creating friend. Let's say that Brian failed in not fact checking all of the questions that he may have wrote.
Well, the buck stops here. Then the buck stops at Brian. He's like the editor of your book. If Stephen King put a typo in there, don't blame Stephen King. Blame the editor is what I like to say.
Exactly.
Hey, we're back and we have things to talk about, and there is stuff. We got a jury coming up later. No chin beard, which is why I made that weird statement earlier.
He's got a class. No chin beards.
Let's predict his class. What do you think his class is? I'm going to predict lady yoga class or Pilates.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think?
I don't think so, but I want it to be that. I want him, a yoga mat, and 30 other housewives.
That would be the best thing. I was thinking introduction to ceramic chest pieces or something like that, but I like yours a lot better.
It's in truth, it's probably much closer to yours. He's probably learning how to make something, because that's what he does.
Yeah.
So it seems like as he continues to push his art forward, he would be doing that and not going to a ladies Pilates class, but whatever. I have my dreams, I have my hopes. Yesterday, I've not seen the internet erupt with mutual sadness like this since Steve Jobs died. I'm trying to think of another major celebrity death that created this kind of fervor.
Right, right. And it's funny because I was actually on the road.
Yeah.
Around Grand Junction when I heard the news, both my friend Dave, who we played trivia with, who was also driving home and who actually arrived in Grand Junction right before we passed through. And then Tina also texted me like within a minute afterwards saying, oh my God, Robin Williams is dead.
Yeah,
it's,
right?
Surprising.
Yeah. I saw it and I thought, oh, another one of these, another fake, you know, thing. Because in my mind, that guy's just been around forever and will continue to never not be around.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear I'd just seen him in something. I know what, or I guess it was, I was watching YouTube clips the other night of his, like, ownership of late night talk show couches. I mean, he would just destroy. I don't care who you were. Letterman, Leno, Carson,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
Conan, doesn't matter. Ferguson, he would come in there and he would just own your couch for the next 15 minutes. And he would create the most intense segment of your show. Like, there was nobody like it. Nobody could do what he did when it came to that.
No, and it was all you. I mean, it was all him. So, you know, if you're the host, you might as well just hang back, make a sandwich, get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is just let him rip.
Or laugh. Just laugh your head off. Like,
right.
So funny and so energetic and almost scary in some ways. Like he would just, you know, just destroy those sets. It was incredible. Anyway, so I think I'd been watching some of those. And so this kind of came out of nowhere and then everybody's freaking out. And I thought, well, it must be true because look at everybody. I mean, you can't have, you know, I can see 10 people freaking out and maybe they just bought the hoax or whatever. But it started very quickly to not seem like a hoax. And then I started seeing it posted on every reputable blog/news site. They do exist, people. In 2014, those actually are a thing. I know it's hard to believe, but it just caught me completely off guard. It was an apparent suicide, and he had struggled, had said this openly before, but had struggled for his whole life with severe depression,
mm-hmm.
and a true bipolar case, which has a lot to do with his manic side, which was his, you know, his genius side.
There is that whole kind of sad clown kind of thing, you know, like the more out there you are, the more over the top you are,
mm-hmm.
in one extreme, the inside, you know, kind of feels like sometimes it suffers from going the other direction.
Yeah, the harder the crash, I guess, the harder the come down from the other. Who knows? I am zero expert on this, and I'm empathetic as far as I can be, but I'm really sad to have him go. I mean, I think it would be appropriate to mention things that he did that we found inspirational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, it was a combination of films, two films specifically that I will never forget. They were very powerful and palpable experiences and still live to this day. And the only problem is that I have not shared either of them with my kids yet. And I don't know why. So we're rectifying that this weekend. We're going to watch both.
Mm. Oh, cool.
But that's Awakenings and Dead Poets Society.
Oh, wow. Yeah, just both of them really good.
Powerful pieces of business. And he's incredible in those. And it was clear in those movies and obviously tons of other films that he mm-hmm. was so much more than just Mork from Mork, you know?
Yeah. The Fisher King was one of my favorites that we were talking on part of the drive. So basically, as soon as we found this out, the music went on pause. We switched on the Sirius XM and started listening to the news and just, you know, what happened and, you know, to kind of find out what was going on. And they were, you know, listing off a lot of his movies and his more recent stuff and older stuff and the serious things like One Hour Photo and Insomnia. And and then somebody mentioned The Fisher King. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot how fantastic that movie was, how good he was in it. And
mm-hmm.
What a really, really touching,
yeah, hell of a movie.
Performance, yeah. And you know, Tina and I were fan. Well, I was more of a fan, but Tina and I watched The Crazy Ones. I mean, the show that he had last season.
Oh, yeah, the one that got canceled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Sarah Michelle Gellar, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty shook up on Twitter.
It was a good... Oh, God, I'm sure she was, yeah.
Yeah. I feel just... I don't know. As much as it's... We all feel like we got... Oh, we lost a public figure or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine how his kids feel and his current wife feels, and you know, I can't imagine mm-hmm. how hard this must be.
Yeah, and Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal, the three of them used to do the comic relief together, the mm-hmm. charity thing.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's so many people that he worked with that have just got to be devastated right now.
Pam Dauber. Too many brilliant comedians die this way. It's mm-hmm. weird.
Yeah.
And he,
yeah.
you know, he made it further than most, 63 years old, but that's not old enough to die yet, man. That's too young.
No. Yeah.
And to everybody out there who has never experienced an ounce of depression or anxiety in your life, and you look at this and go, what a selfish move, man. Go jump in a freaking lake full of alligators, because I don't need your business in here. I really don't. I hate that attitude.
No, it's,
have a little sympathy in your life. How about that?
Try and be understanding about the situation. It's so, you know.
I got to quit looking at Twitter. Honestly, you know what? That's what that comes down to. Twitter is kind of shitty lately. And yesterday, I made a tweet that said something about, I don't remember. It doesn't even matter. It just attracts... Yes, you can surround yourself with like-minded people and whatever, but sometimes it just gets so nasty. People say terrible things there. And Facebook, too, whatever. The internet. I'm not talking about Twitter specifically. The internet. It sometimes is just this hideous place. So today, I dubbed this day Tranquil Tuesday. Where we all can just take a break.
Do the thing like on the internet with the throwback Thursday and the fall Friday.
No, none of that. Right. I'm just going to take it's my own personal day.
All right.
You guys can do it if you want to, but I'm just going to separate myself from the trash heap just a little bit today. Just today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Chilling out. Keep it away just a little bit. I don't need none of your negativity. I got enough of that to deal with. I'm just going to make it a better day, and I'm gonna watch good Robin Williams movies. And by the way, I would argue that Disney got their comedy groove back when they hired him to be the genie in Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that marked a really important time for Disney as an animation studio and being comedically good again, like actually being funny, not just being cute and coying for kids, but actually funny and making movies with that. Adults and parents could go into and go, all right, I totally get this because this is funny on my level too. He nailed that. An amazing performance. Didn't he get nominated for an Oscar for that voice? I want to say some weird, unprecedented thing happened that year with that. Yeah. I could be wrong, or maybe a bunch of people
don't remember that, but it certainly could have been. You know, I've given up trying to remember things after this weekend for a while.
Yeah. I guess so. It's weird.
A lot of recall happened this weekend. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. I got to hear it. Yeah. So let's talk about your... I need to know about the Ken Jennings meetup. I'm dying. I know that's skipping ahead a little, but what the hell happened there? How'd you meet Ken Jennings?
Well, we were sitting there boozing it up. He and I were, you know, doing shots of whiskey together, and all of a sudden...
No, you don't mean Ken Jennings, right? He wasn't doing shots.
I'm kidding.
Okay, good.
We were practicing for potent potables for 200. Your clue is, your answer is. It says here you've got a very interesting hobby.
You do a pretty good Trebek.
That's my Trebek right there.
That's not bad.
So he's come to this before. A couple of years ago, he and I actually competed against each other in a Jeopardy-style game called Buzzer Battle, where you've got, it's as close to being Jeopardy as you can get without it being kind of a license infringement. But you've got five categories. You've got point values, and, you know, you got three people at podiums all hitting the buzzer. And for a while I was beating him, but he did eventually crush me in that game. There weren't enough categories about booze, strippers, and gambling, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah,
I needed
course.
More of those.
Sure.
So he came to this thing, showed up on the second day, and was there for a majority of the last day.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, that's all right. That sounded like him.
It was. Him? I'm just queuing something up, and YouTube decided to play without me, but keep going.
So this is the guy, by the way, for people who don't know Ken Jennings. He's like the longest winning contestant. Isn't the person who won the most money on Jeopardy, but is the contestant who had the longest winning streak on the show.
Which you would argue, if you're just looking at it from the perspective of who's the best trivia dude on Jeopardy's history, you got to give it to Ken Jennings, even though the money pot's a big deal.
The money pot's a big deal.
The longest run means you were the best at answering questions for the longest. So
now, the person who did win the most money on Jeopardy is a guy named Brad Rutter. And Brad Rutter has also been there for the last 2 years. He and I hung out yesterday. Brad Rutter drinks, and he does a mean John Hamm or a mean Don Draper impersonation.
Whoa, really?
And he's a really, really cool guy. I mean, super, super down to earth, friendly. You'd see him in a room and you wouldn't even realize who he is. Ken Jennings, same kind of thing, down to earth, but you get the impression when you're talking to him, oh my God, this guy is...
He's a freaking genius.
He's a freaking genius.
Yeah, my sister, and, Wendy, we should have asked her about this. Maybe we will this week, but my sister, yeah. Wendy, has played like board games with that guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they used to be neighbors and friends with somebody, oh my some God, of their
if
friends.
If I would have known, I could have said, you
I know.
Know,
I know. I didn't think about it. When I saw your photo, I was too busy freaking out that you were in a photo with Ken Jennings. But she
you
says
remember
that,
Wendy Johnson?
He says that she is completely... He is always like that, like just yeah. a brilliant dude who you, when you're with him, you're like, I don't know what he knows. His brain is making my brain hurt kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I don't think there's any getting around. Super nice guy.
Super nice yeah. guy. I mean, really, really
real unassuming and yeah, real yeah. sweet guy. But
so got to brilliant. Meet him, which was, well, like I said, I met him before, but this was the first time I actually took a picture with him that wasn't just somebody taking a picture of the game we were playing a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And also bought a copy of his book, and he like personalized it for me. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Also got to meet Jackie Fox. Now, I think I've mentioned my 13-year-old, 14-year-old self's adoration, longing, lusting after the Runaways, the band that
yeah
launched the career of like Joan Jett and Lita Ford. Well, there was another gal in the group named Jackie Fox. I'll put a picture of her in the
drummer. Was she?
Chat. Well, she was no, she was a bassist.
Bassist, okay.
Yeah, they were all, you know, they were all like, you know, the typical 70s, 16-year-old girl with the kind of somewhat of a girl next door look, but kind of with that bad edge.
Yeah,
kind of like if the Spice Girls were sitting in front of the corner drugstore. Shooting dice on the ground with crumpled up stacks of ones. That's kind of what.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. That's a very specific look. I know what you're saying. It's like girl next door who's not satisfied with her girl next door life.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So this is funny. So I get to Vegas on Wednesday, and Thursday night, there's like this unofficial meetup deal going on in the suite of the Skybox suite or Sky Suite, I guess it is, over at MGM Grand, that a couple of the people got together and bought. And so it's a bunch of rooms, and in each room there's again, it's this kind of Jeopardy style game that's going on with buzzer systems in each room and a projector showing the clues up on the wall and stuff. And so I'm you know, playing with this group of people, and this woman named Jackie comes in and her sister Carol. And we're sitting there playing trivia and chatting and have a great time. And then the next day, I'm talking with the organizer, and I made some comment about how, wow, you know, really, really good turnout this year. And he says, oh, yeah, dude, we're you know, this thing is getting bigger and bigger every year. We got a guy from Beatallica in there. I'm like, no way. There's a guy from the band Beatallica, the Beatles cover band that does their songs in the style of Metallica is here.
Yeah.
And then he said, oh, yeah, and we got one of the girls who was in the Runaways. And at that point, I forgot about the fact that he had just mentioned that there was somebody in a cover band that I've played a million times on the show.
Oh, right.
That, the Beatallica, woof, like it just it, like it was like smoke that just disappeared from the back of my mind. It
sure.
was like, oh, Beatallica, what? Boom, gone.
Over your okay. head, yeah.
Everything else disappeared from my head except my room as a teenager with the big poster of Farrah Fawcett on one wall, my stack of albums from...
Hold on. You had that red bikini or that
yes,
red...
Yes, I had that
oh,
red...
Oh,
yes.
Gosh, dang it. You are the living embodiment of that era. Wow.
Totally am.
Amazing.
I had stacks of the Mork for Mork magazine, you know, when they came out with those little four-page magazines, the fanzines, I guess they were.
Yeah, man, that weird comic book word bubbles in it and all that.
Exactly. So I had a plastic red and white turntable sitting over on my dresser,
oh my gosh.
And next to that were several dozen albums by Sweet's Desolation Boulevard. It's still one of my favorite albums. The Who, various other things. And then on top of that were... the Queens of Noise album and the Runaways self-titled debut album.
Wow.
And played those all the time. And Cherry Bomb and the title track of Queens of Noise and Dead End Kids and listened to all those things as a kid.
Did you get excited in The Guardians when you heard Cherry Bomb?
Oh, totally. Well, I heard about that being on the soundtrack. It was in one of the trailers. And I'm like, oh, my God, the Runaways are in this, too.
Oh, wow.
So he says, oh yeah, it was one of the girls from the Runaways. And I said, which one? Who's from the Runaways? And he says, oh, it's Jackie over there. I'm like, oh my God, that's Jackie Fox. Holy crap. Because on the her real name is Jackie Fuchs, yeah. F-U-C-H-S.
Yeah.
And never would have made the connection that she'd be doing this, even though I've seen her on The Chase and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and doing other things. For whatever reason, it didn't even make a connection in my head.
Weird.
So
weird.
Next opportunity I had where I was over there talking to her, I said, so can I ask you something weird? You mind, you know, the two of us taking a picture together, just because I just didn't realize for the past 48 hours that we'd been playing trivia together that you were the bassist for the Runaways. And I was such a big fan back then. And yeah. It's amazing to meet you and all that. So,
and then you licked her face. No?
Then I licked her face and all said, right. You will be mine.
Perfect. Perfect.
And so she was totally happy to do it. I posted it on Twitter, and it was just this little, you know, the my inner 13-year-old self was puke, you know, like so excited, he puked out all of his C-3PO's cereal. He was just so excited about that.
That's awesome,
he puked,
dude.
He puked up his C-3PO cereal all over his Mego Spider-Man.
Perfect. That's exactly right. And your mom figured out how to get it. The stain out. It's fine.
Exactly.
It's fine, little Brian. We'll take care of it. That's great, dude. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
Star-studded visit.
That's right.
To the Vegas trivia trip this year. And how'd it go overall? Did you guys win?
Overall, we did. We won. We got medals right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Heavy metal medals. We got second place. I'm holding these up for the camera, folks.
That's great.
Second place in the Geeks Who Drink competition, which is the same style of competition that we won in Austin earlier this year. And I'd rather win in Austin and get the 6,000 than take second place and get a very nice medal. And then we took third place in the Continental trivia thing, which is like a another kind of wide-ranging team competition.
It sounds fancy. The Continental. Welcome to the Continental.
Exactly. Yes.
Isn't that Christopher Walken thing?
Yes. I don't understand why you want to leave. Why do you want to leave? We have fresh champagne.
Here's for those not familiar with Ken Jennings, we're going to play a little clip of his most famous line in his time on Jeopardy. Here you go.
Okay. Less than a minute now. Tool time for 200. This term for a long-handled gardening tool can also mean an immoral pleasure seeker. Ken.
What's a hoe?
No. Whoa.
And he's got this face on him like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was it.
I would have thought that was it too. What was the answer?
I don't think it's said. That clip didn't it cut. I'm sure that somebody's got that somewhere. I'm not sure what it was. But it was definitely not a hoe. All right. Well, there you go. Awesome. Well, grats, dude. That's good time.
I'm sure I'll regale with tales as we think of things.
Yeah, what is crows and toad?
Oh, that's who we saw Sunday night. So at the Mandalay Beach, which is the pool area, has a stage where you can actually see bands. Yeah. And when they put on a show there, you show up in sandals, shorts, whatever, maybe even swim trunks, and you can actually go out in the water to be closer to the stage and be right beneath the stage to see your favorite artists.
Oh, wow.
You can get a little pruny after 3 hours of sitting there not moving in the water.
Yeah.
But Toad the Wet Sprocket and Counting Crows. So it was like I was way back.
Oh, my gosh.
Took the Wayback Machine in 1994 and walked on the ocean and stepped on a stone. And flesh became water and wood becomes bone.
Wow. Toad the Red Sprocket, dude. Still kicking it.
Still sounding great. Actually just came out with a new album and they played a few songs. And you didn't get the usual thing that you get when when the band comes out and says, hey, we're going to play something from our new album. And everybody sits down. Yeah. The crowd was there to see those two bands and there were fans. And aside from maybe a few people who've got comp tickets because they played on the Lucky Shamrock machine for 6 hours that day, everyone was really enjoying it.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know, Toad the Wet Sprocket got their name from this Monty Python sketch.
Rex Stardust, lead Electric Triangle with Toad the Wet Sprocket, has had to have an elbow removed following their recent successful worldwide tour of Finland.
This one appeared on the...
Way to pull that up quickly. Holy cow.
I'm a speedy guy. Also this.
Yeah.
Here you go. They play that?
They did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Toad the Wet Sprocket, everybody.
Absolutely.
See him on Thursdays. Okay.
Over at Branson, Missouri.
Yep.
he'll be playing in the Starlight Lounge right after.
That's right.
Ronnie Millsap, everybody.
Ronnie Millsap. Holy crap, dude. You are not kidding around today. That brought back something in me. Something just happened right there. Wow. A flood of things. For some reason, the song Elvira is going off in my head.
Oh, that was the Oak Ridge Boys.
From the Oak Ridge Boys. But
same time period,
kicking it all in. It's all getting stirred up. It's like dirt.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, anyway, Daryl time.
Oh, and one last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
So remember last year when we almost died on the drive back?
I remember that.
And this part of the...
Plus, you were all pukey when you got home.
Was that the day?
That was the trip. Oh, no. You know what? It was a different trip when you drove with your buddy and you came back and you had a horrible chest thing, like some awful thing.
Yeah.
You always got sick on those trips. But yes,
Yeah, I feel fine this time.
Good.
On that same drive back, in that same stretch of road where it looks like it never rains because it's desert. It's parched, dry desert.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, flash storm just as we're passing through the same area.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's
I had to
crazy.
Take video of it because I could not believe it. But the video basically is us laughing and the storm pounding down and us taking it a little bit easy and slowing the car down this time around.
Yeah. I would argue that this is a weird year for storms, and Nevada's having flash flood problems in general. And you, sir, witnessed it.
I did.
That's what happened right there. All right. Yep. What are we doing here? Look at this.
Daryl!
Yay! Let's Stump a Trek Nerd,
brought to you by the indie rock band Sean Sleeps Naked. Download their debut album free at Sean Sleep Snake D. Just kidding, it's Sean Sleeps Naked. .bandcamp.com.
Nicely done. Daryl, are you there?
Yes.
I got a question for you. I saved this for you. All right. Daryl lives in Seattle, Washington, a town known for some, you know, fairly sizable hipster population, I would say. Between you and Portland, I think you got it all sewn up, you know? You guys are all kind of the same up there. You know, dumb handlebar mustaches, mismatched Chuck Taylor shoes, you know. This the stupid, ridiculous, over-the-top, hipster-looking crowd, right? Mm-hmm. You know.
I don't know those people.
Well, not really your crowd so much, but they're there. If you go to, like, a street fair or whatever, you're going to see them. So I went to a street fair over the weekend called Craft Lake City. And
it's down to Craft Lake City where the baskets are fine and the rugs are pretty.
See, that's it. And we went, so it's in downtown Salt Lake City. It started out as kind of a small thing. Now it's super huge and it's actually really cool and nice. And there's really good stuff there. Almost like Comic-Con for hipsters is what it reminded me of.
Okay.
And we went down there this weekend with the kids and did, you know, walked through booths and ate weird food and just did all the stuff you do. And I swear, over the last year, every hipster has moved to Salt Lake City. They're all here now. And I don't know what happened. And it's the irritating kind. It's the annoying kind. It's the kind with mustaches that belong on a 70s porn star. It's the kind with, you know, skinny jeans that...
No, I'm wearing it ironically, Ben.
Exactly. And they're all... Yeah. Everything the guy... Like, half the people I saw there, everything they were doing was done ironically. Some guy's wearing a bowler hat. A bowler hat. No, nobody wears a bowler hat.
No.
We've not done that since we would go to somebody's freaking speakeasy and bust up the place and pour all their beer out. Okay? It doesn't exist now, but you are wearing it. It's kind of annoying. This one guy had an entire booth dedicated to making guitars and small string instruments out of rulers and cereal boxes.
Oh, jeez.
And he had a whole booth, and he would make them as you watched, and he was wearing a Where's Waldo tight striped t-shirt, one of these mustaches, mm-hmm. mismatched Chuck Taylors, and I can't remember what all. And
Please tell me he was walking around with a giant barbell that was basically just a black rod with two giant black spheres on each end of it.
No, and when he talked to you, he held his fist up like this, like he was going to fisticuff you.
Here, come on, I'll take you down. Yeah. I'll take you down.
Exactly. Yes. There was all that vibe going on, and it just irritated the hell out of me. Just irritated me. Because at some point, doesn't that become the thing they're trying to hate? Like, isn't don't they become the problem? Like goth or any other stupid trend, eventually you're like, oh, well, now there's so many of us. We are the man. Now we got to rebel in some other way. Plus, these guys are like 38, you know, 38-year-old hipsters killing me, just killing me. All right, Daryl, thanks for sending him my way, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
You also have to have the bicycle with a giant front wheel and a 4-inch rear wheel.
Of course. See, and I like retro-y kind of, I like stuff like that, but I'm not going to go buy one and travel to work on it. I mean, anyway. All right, Daryl, here we go. Let's get to your Trek question. It's Star Trek Trivia Day time. It is every day, really. And we didn't get to finish the audio stuff last week because there was no show on. No, wait. What happened? No, we had no show on. Someday last week we had no show. So we're fitting in one. Yeah. What show was what day was that? Did we miss a show?
I thought we had a show every day, didn't we?
Did we do a show every day? Yeah, we did a show every day.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't know why we have extras, but here it is. Oh, maybe it was for yesterday. Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Here is today's question. What episode does this clip come from? Okay, so I'm going to play it for you. Here you go.
Ever since you gave Alexander that music program, he's been playing it all night, every night.
Just wanted to broaden his horizons. Besides, he likes it.
It is screeching, pounding dissonance. It is not music.
Worf, it's better than music. It's jazz.
No.
No.
He's not playing jazz. He's just a kid. Anyway, it's his trombone, I think, is what he gave him.
Gave him a
or didn't he?
Riker gave him a trombone, huh?
Yeah. Did I give it something
no,
away?
No. All no, right. That's fine.
Which episode is this from? Suddenly Human. That was the sequel to Suddenly Susan.
I think other people know where I was going.
Do you know
where
you were going? Okay. Oh. You just left out the rusty part.
I did.
All right. Suddenly Human. Phantasms. Cost of Living. Or Parallels. You know, this could be a question. Which one of these sounds most like a 1990s sitcom? Suddenly Human, Phantasms, Cost of Living, or Parallels? It's like sci-fi mixed with those. Okay, so give your answer. But before you do, let's play a little food time here. Hold on. Oh, shite. There it is. Okay.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
I have a letter here from one James who says... His full name, hold on, is James Barnett. Barnett, that sounds like the chief of police who has told me, he's telling me not only do we have to get Mendoza, but that I have wrecked 3 squad cars this week alone.
Officer Barnett.
And I need to get into I got to get on top of it or else I'm going to get fired from my job. All right, dear Scott. Oh, you probably got a different one. Does yours say dear Brian?
Probably.
Okay, so you're...
Just based on that information alone, I would say mine probably does, yes.
Not going to enjoy this. You're not going to enjoy this since I heard you don't enjoy licorice from Iceland. My apologies, but this will make for a great pod. I started listening to you through the Forecast podcast, eventually moving to The Instance and even TMS. I have enjoyed everything since. Keep up the great work, James. Well, thank you, James.
Cool. Yeah, he said, enjoy the chocolate-covered licorice I picked up in Iceland on the way out. I enjoy the tunes you play. After playing cover last week, you recently inspired me to purchase some old AHA albums from my childhood. Keep up the great work.
Oh, wow. So he's in my email, trying to screw me over by making me ill-eating thing, and then yours, it was all compliments. Oh,
well, because he knows I like licorice, so it will not be a problem at all.
Daryl, did you get one of these?
I got a letter, and it was a good one, and then I threw it away.
Oh. Do you still have the licorice thing he sent?
Yeah, I have that.
All right, this is made by Nyet, or NY, with an umlaut thing on top of it. TT.
Isn't that Russian for no?
Is it?
Like, do not eat almost, or something.
Nyet.
Almost.
Nyet.
Nyet. Like it's got the exclamation point, too.
It's Nyet, funny, because if it's got Noah. Nyet, Noah. Blackers, Noah. It's like somebody who's being tortured is screaming for relief.
I give. No more of this food.
So this is chocolate. Ew, what a weird combo. All right, chocolate on licorice. Here we go.
Chocolate on licorice X.
Oh, I don't like the smell of that.
Ugh. Like one of those two things.
Well, Daryl and I are the same. We're of the same ilk when it comes to licorice.
Yeah. It looks like, it's funny. It's about the thickness of a Heath bar, so it's like a thin.
Oh, very much so. Yeah,
Heath bar looking thing.
What's the old Heath bar jingle? Do you remember Heath bars? Do they have a jingle?
You don't eat an old Heath bar.
Bar jingle.
That's the old Heath bar jingle.
Is that? Hold on, here you go. I got one. I'll play it.
Creation, frustration, now's your chance. Take a toffee break.
Okay.
Have a heat all work, no play, no way.
Take a toffee break. That's what I was
thinking. I really liked when Survivor started switching over to doing...
Do you remember that time, though, where every commercial sounded like Survivor did it?
Yes, they were the exactly.
best. You want the best of your orange juice. Woo! All right. Let's eat this terrible thing. I'm terrified.
Oh, I already did. It was horrible.
Was it bad?
Just because of the licorice.
I like licorice. Brian, I like chocolate. I cannot say that those two flavors belong together at all.
Ooh, gosh, Iceland, what are you doing? No wonder your city's spelled wrong.
Call me a purist, but those two things should not be served.
Together?
Together.
Well, when in Iceland, you do some weird shite. Yeah, that's real bad. I don't like that at all.
Maybe chip coffee. Off the chocolate and just eat that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just tried eating chocolate alone, and it retains the flavor.
It's absorbed the...
Yeah, that's horrible. That is a hideous, horrible thing. I will never touch that again. I'm going to see if my wife wants it, but I doubt it even then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks, though, James. We appreciate the torture.
Yeah.
But it is better than yogurt soda.
Oh, yeah. No. All things are compared against yogurt soda now.
And I will be drinking that on the next Grumpy Cast. I will try again to like it.
And you're going to do, it'll be the less sour one, right? Isn't the idea it'll be fresh?
I hope it's a fresh bottle and not an old rotten stale one from 50 years ago.
Yeah, what the hell were they doing with that? What was going on, Hammond? All right. Good job, everyone. Nicely done. Let's get back to the damn thing here. This question here about what episode that thing came from. And it's Worf complaining about the instrument that Riker gave him. Which one do you think it is there, Daryl? Do you think it's Suddenly Human, Phantasms, Cost of Living, or Parallels?
Oh, I don't remember this. Well, I remember the scene, but I can't place it in any of these. So this could be a terrible disaster.
Could be.
Sounds
like a hard one. I like it.
I guess I'll just pick A.
Pick A? You're going to pick A?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. All right.
Let's see how that goes. Yeah. What the hell? All right. Well, let's find out. Are you right?
Congratulations.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
You're
damn
a
it.
Winner.
That wasn't supposed to play. Hold on a second. There you go.
Oh, you mean I lose?
Yeah, you got it wrong. It was B. Phantasms. B. Phantasms. The wrong clip played. I got them in the wrong place. Worf and Riker are talking about this music. What? Forum. Oh, program is what he probably means. Mm. He spelled it P-R-O-R-A-M.
Program.
On their way to the turbo lift. When they get there, they see Data has stabbed Counselor Troi.
Ever since you gave Alexander that
Oh, it's the same
program,
clip. I'm not playing that again. So there you go. He stabs her, and Daryl has done a terrible job today. He is. It's Tuesday, and he just freaking blew it. Just blew it right out the window.
Wow. Just failed.
This is terrible, I know. Daryl, enjoy the rest of your hipster week there in Seattle. And before we let you go, I would like to point people's direction to This Week in Trek, a fine podcast about Star Trek that Daryl's involved with. You can check it out at thisweekintrek.com. He's also the Trek Nerd on Twitter and does the Grumpy Cast, as mentioned before. Daryl? What game hath you today?
Okay. Is this in the Star Trek or in the Utah?
All right, I got... Here's your clip. Hold on right here.
In the clip? In the snowboard clip, Lord?
Okay.
David Dodge.
So this is a character
Dodge?
In Star
Dodge
Trek?
Dodge or Dodge?
Dodge.
Okay.
Like, David Dodge.
Like Dodge.
I mean, that's got to be a dealership out there in Utah, right?
Yeah, like, welcome to David Dodge.
Well, if you can find any better deal on a Dodge.
Then my name ain't David.
Yeah. I'll drink a bottle of whiskey.
Our answer is.
In the Utah?
That's our answer.
Oh, so, well, I guess you would know this since you're there. He is a. Well, I'm not going to say this.
Why?
I'm gonna text it to you or something.
What? To tell us what he is?
But he is from the Utah.
He is.
And
from,
I'm not.
What?
I'm
what? You can't tell us why?
Why can't you tell us what he is?
No, it's the workplace is a highly professional place.
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
really?
Is he like a porn actor?
Can we
or
guess
something?
What he is?
Yeah.
You can guess. But
okay.
He never will.
Is he a meth dealer?
No.
Is he David Dodge? Is he?
You're gonna have to. Okay, text this and then we'll say it.
Yeah,
on the
text
air.
It. And we'll say it after.
Because we have no such. We have no such restrictions.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
We live by no creed.
We have no code. No. There's no code. I mean, who's going to care?
Yeah, who's going to care? Nobody cares.
You didn't care. I didn't care.
Now you're going to make me play that clip.
Oh, this is taking too long.
They're not going to care. They don't care. What? They're going to care?
That's his friend back there in the chipper then.
Okay, I've texted him.
All right, I'm checking now.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Wow.
He's a famous gay sperm donor, Daryl says. Which apparently is, oh, a famous gay Mormon sperm donor.
Yeah,
I don't know. Famous, not
how
famous
you
enough.
That onto a business card.
I've not heard of this guy ever. I don't know what this is. That's interesting. I like it though.
I like it.
All right, great. Daryl is the Trek nerd and is just as sneakily texting people all week long. Go follow him on Twitter. It's a good time. Daryl, we're gonna kick you out now. Have fun. I guess that's it. Are we done? Yeah. This is how this usually ends. I don't know what I'm saying. All right. Good times with Daryl. This is my new sitcom. Famous gay sperm donor.
I gotta look it up. Is erupting with questions about gay sperm. Like, is that different? Is it
David Dodge? Yeah. What is the difference? Dodge.
And what's the deal with David Dodge?
It says here that he's a novelist.
The guy's got friction.
You're right. There is a David Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Oh, is there really?
Yep. I'll just type Utah.
If you can find... Never mind. I'm not even going to go there because we do have some restrictions.
The gay Mormon known...
better deal on the Dodge.
The New York Times has a headline.
I'll give you a little plastic cup filled with an indeterminate amount of liquid.
It says the gay Mormon known sperm doctor from Utah. What? Everyone knows David, right? A friend asked a group of newly acquainted people at a party in Brooklyn. I don't know anything about it. I've never even heard of this. This is news to me. As usual, Utah stereotypes and stuff, they come to us last. We're the last to hear about it. That is a new one for me. All right, let's get to the damn news. Do we have a thing for that? We do.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, look, everyone. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Hero Movie Podcast, a weekly podcast focusing exclusively on comic book and superhero movies. Brought to you by a film school graduate, an art director, and an amateur comic book historian. Find it at HeroMoviePodcast.com or simply Hero Movie Podcast wherever you find podcasts.
I should also mention the entire broadcast today brought to you by Hero Tap, the latest game from InMotion Software. I have a friend there. He's awesome.
Nice.
The makers of I Dig It. This is a very popular early iOS app. And I shouldn't say that early. It's maybe 2010. Mm-hmm. That was really, really fun. And this is their latest called Hero Tap. Welcome to Tapopolis, a city of blue skies, clean streets, and overrun by nefarious supervillains. Mm. Ooh. Sounds like something you'd like. You're a hero, dude.
I like heroes.
Become a superhero that Tapopolis needs. Each time you attack the supervillain, you gain fame. Use that fame to recruit new allies for your team, upgrade your powers, and gain even more fame. Even earn fame offline. Want to do that? Sure, why not? Challenge your friends to beat your score. See how much fame you can gain in this fun, new, addictive take on the endless earner genre. Give the enemies the finger of justice.
Oh,
Hero Tap, finger of justice, available now on iOS. You can just
your
go.
Friends
pick that
will thing. Remember your name.
That's right. Also, you can
remember
follow these guys
my name.
At InMotion Games on Twitter for the latest news and updates. That's again Hero Tap, the finger of justice. Give villains the finger. I like that. Or give, what is it? Give evil the finger? Give your enemies the finger.
There you go. Give somebody the finger. Give them the finger.
Give them the finger. Two-headed dolphin man. No. Two-headed dolphin carcass. Totally freaked out a Turkish beach man. Turkish man on a Turkish beach.
Turkish beach man. For some reason, still wearing a turban. Excelsior.
Wait, do the Turkish will wear turbans? Turkish,
yeah.
Beach?
Don't they wear? Don't Turks wear turbans?
I don't know. Do they? I don't know. I feel like that may not be the case. Hold on. Oh. Turkish turban. Oh, Turkish turbans. Oh, they totally do.
Yeah,
they're ornate though. They're more like
old. Yeah, they're not exactly. They're not.
Not that kind of religious-y thing. Like, it's more like, hey, look at us. Right. We're like Alibaba and the 40 Thieves.
Pakistani kind of turbans. No, I mean they've got like the. The jewels and the stuff on them.
That's how it should be.
Sure.
In Turkey, all women wear turbans, it says. Anyway. So here you go. Two-headed dolphin. That's a weird thing to see. A Turkish man called police after he spotted a rotting carcass of a two-headed dolphin on a beach. Turgel Metin, a 39-year-old gym teacher, saw the dead animal's remains afloat near the shores of Izmir on Turkey's west coast. Do you think I get that right? Izmir?
Sure. That's all how. Right. That's what I would guess.
I wouldn't have. I wouldn't know either way, but there you
have
it.
Would you not have bet on that pronunciation?
What's the over-under on Izmir? I noticed the dolphin in the sea and watched it as it washed to the beach. This according to Metin. And he says, I could not take it in at first. I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. I was completely shocked. The dolphin was believed to be a one-year-old calf, and measured just over 3.2 feet, according to the mirror. The condition of having two heads is known as polycephaly. Cephaly. Yeah, polycephaly.
Sure.
It can affect all sorts of animals, even humans, Brian. Even humans.
I'm guessing that means many heads.
Yeah, multiple heads.
Polycephaly.
Cephaly is a head?
Sure, sure.
All right.
It comes from the Greek cephaly.
Ah, got it.
The Greek god of head.
Yeah, the Greek god of heads. Head. Whoa, what? Last year, a two-headed calf was born in Vermont. The heads were fully developed, allowing the animal to moo and eat through either head.
You can take the guy out of Vegas.
But you can't. Yeah, exactly. Also, Florida. Hey, Florida men. Florida men, be ready for this, okay?
All right. Okay, well, we don't do Florida men. That's the one that I'm exempt from giving a...
That's right.
...a power for.
We have long done them, long time ago. We're not doing them anymore. Massive Toxic Algae Bloom. It's a great band name. Someone should use it.
It totally is.
Massive Toxic Algae Bloom.
As soon as the hipster craft thing is over, man, I'm going to the Massive Toxic Algae Bloom concert.
That's right, man. I live in a house made of underwear, man. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I guess those are more hippies.
Check this out. This is scary. An algae bloom almost double the size of Rhode Island. There's your comparison. Everyone always compares Rhode Island to things. Have you noticed that on size?
Sure.
Have you seen the size of that whale? He's like half of the size of Rhode Island.
I think people on this side of the country, though, probably think that Rhode Island is like a block long.
I guess so.
It's drummed into your life, or drummed into your head your entire life that Rhode Island is the small state. You know what the small state is? Oh, it's Rhode Island. It's really tiny. Rhode Island. It's really, really small.
Yeah, it's the size of Midvale, Utah. In the Utah. Let's see. This thing is wreaking havoc in Florida's waters and could wash ashore, causing even more damage in the next couple of weeks. According to Reuters, a reputable news service, the red tide algae near Florida's panhandle is approximately 80 miles long and 50 miles wide. Science! The algae bloom releases harmful, odorless chemicals and has killed marine life and can cause respiratory problems in the humans.
Ooh.
Scientists say the toxic bloom could wash up on Florida's coast in 2 weeks. The Daily News Daily Digest reported.
Like New Delhi.
Yeah, the DDD, the triple D. Reported that although red algae bloom is not new to Florida, researchers have begun gathering water samples to try and get a handle on the Carina brevis bloom issue. Apparently, this is a problem, but it's also a big natural problem. It kind of happens. And it's just humans just happen to be in the wake of it, but this is just a normal deal. So it's the way the ocean flushes itself out and does stuff.
Yeah.
Well, poor us for having a bunch of beachfront bullshit to deal with. Boo freaking who.
Yeah. Jeez.
All right. HelloFresh.com also sponsoring today's program. HelloFresh.com is the place to go. They will not bring you algae blooms in the mail, but they will send you farm fresh ingredients for the meal you want to eat in 30 minutes or less. Make, rather. You don't want to eat it that quick. Be as slow as you want to be. Make cooking fun again. See if they deliver in your area. If they do, Morning Stream for 50% off for first-time customers. That's an exclusive deal here at the TMS, at the Morning Stream. Go over there to HelloFresh.com and use that code Morning Stream, all one word, and get it today.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by
maniacalindustries.com. We don't know how to write ad copy, so something funny science t-shirts like Occam's brand razors, something something eco-friendly water-based ink, something something free shipping. In other news, where is our Cloak and Dagger movie, Marvel? Where is it?
I'd be all right. I'd watch
I'd
a Cloak
be
and Dagger
fine with
movie.
That, man. Yeah.
Ooh, great idea.
Yeah, who'd you get? See, now there's your Marvel role for Morgan Freeman, right? I mean, I know he's done the DC thing, but Cloak wasn't, you know, didn't have to be super agile. He was this cloak wearing guy that when you fell into his cloak, you vanished into kind of another dimension, kind of cleaned you out if you were a drug addict.
He'd be a fine pick. I can get behind that, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, and then Tandy, what was her name? Tandy Bowen.
Tandy
something Dagger. You'd have to get some younger, agile. She would have to be kind of like the acrobat.
A young Ashley Judd would be good. Then you could reunite these two again, but that's not going to happen. Yeah, somebody like that.
Yeah, I know in the comics, Cloak is a teenager, ironic name, but...
But that's not stopped us before from making changes.
Right, look, exactly.
These movies aren't about being exactly... You know what's funny? I got a thing to say about that, Brian, since you bring it up. Geeks... I know a lot of nerds and geeks who are atheists who rip on the religious for treating the Bible like the end-all, be-all, and if you stray one bit from it, then you're in trouble, which I don't agree with either. But my point is that we tend to dump on these people as too hardcore or too fundamentalist or whatever, and going, you know, too much letter of the law in this book that has been through so many hands and translations and all this stuff through all the years. Yet, those same nerds will have a complete meltdown if they find out one of their comic books was strayed from even slightly for a movie adaptation. It's the same thing,
right,
dude.
Right.
Same problem. Take it easy. I got a lot to say, actually, on the subject of how the ultra-religious and the ultra-anti-religious are burning the same candle at both ends.
Mm-hmm.
They're both being a problem. I'm going to talk about it on a diary episode. Coming up soon. Frogpants.com/diary. Watch for them.
Excellent.
Game of Thrones actor, Better Call Saul actor, Saul. I almost skipped ahead there. Bob Odenkirk, you know him. Mm-hmm. They put a teaser out. There's a teaser up on
this morning.
Yeah, the AMC deal. Let's play it here. I got a little clippy here.
Lawyers, we're like health insurance. You hope you never need it, but man, oh man, not having it? No.
Okay, it's real small.
That's about the extent of the trailer, actually, the teaser, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's just him at the dinner table talking to people.
And Better Call Saul February or something like that.
Yeah, February, coming this February.
Yep.
I don't think it tells us anything except that we still get slimy Saul, and that's good. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. We want him.
Yeah, he's the Saul we want.
Yeah, not the one we need.
Not the one we need.
Game of Thrones actor J.J. Murphy has died days into his filming role.
Oh, no.
Authorities say Irish actor J.J. Murphy has died after starting his new role on HBO's Game of Thrones. No cause of death was given for the 86-year-old actor. All right, 86, who worked for decades in the Belfast Northern Ireland stage. The Arts Council of Northern Ireland praised Murphy as a mentor to young Belfast actors, including, at the time, a very young Liam Neeson. He gave him a very special set of skills. Yeah,
this is the guy who did it. This is the guy who gave him those skills.
Yeah. Let's see here. Murphy had been cast in Game of Thrones to portray Sir Dennis Malister. Oh yeah, I know that name in the books. The older member of the Night's Watch military order, and started filming his scenes this week. He died Friday in his home. Much of the fantasy series is filmed in Northern Ireland, and local actors always feature prominently in the cast. We will not be recasting J.J. Murphy. He was a lovely man and the best Dennis Malister we could have hoped for. And now his watch has ended, says executive producers D.B. Weiss and David Benioff.
It should be Benioff.
Benioff. Is it Benioff? I don't know.
It was Benioff. I thought it was, two N's.
Anyway, they're not going to recast him. They're going to let his character be what it was, and then that'll be the end of it. So
apparently nothing must happen to Sir Dennis Malister in the future
I'm
show.
I'm trying to remember... Yeah, I don't think he played... It's not a big role.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small ancillary character who does some dealings with Jamie, and that's it. I don't remember for sure, though. Mm. It's not a spoiler, everybody. Relax. Calm down.
Don't worry.
Calm the hell down.
Easy now.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk to our good friend Justin Robert Young, and my guess is we will talk a lot about Robin Williams. So stay tuned for that. Before all that, though, Brian has brought music, and it's like a little package here. He's going to open it, and he's going to share it with all of us.
It's like a little gift. It's you pull the handle, and the three cherries come up on the display, and,
exactly.
And then you get this right here. Hi, Bubby, and Shoot the Glass. Today, I'm exactly 1 year from being 30 years old. I have a 1.5-year-old daughter named Ingvild, and in 8 weeks, my beautiful wife, Iris, is delivering our son, who we are going to name Eddie after Eddie Vedder. Have you ever wondered why Eddie Vedder looks like Jeff Bridges? Anyway, I'd like to dedicate
Whoa,
all
does,
is full of
dude.
Love.
Sorry, that just blew my mind. All right,
they
anyway.
Do kind of look alike.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to dedicate All is Full of Love by Death Cab for Cutie. It's a cover of Bjork's song to my wife, Iris. Iris, you are the light of my life, and all is full of love in my life because of you. I always tell you that I love my children, but if I did not love you in the first place, they wouldn't be here. So I love you more. Don't tell them. Bob broke my jaw, brah.
Nice.
Best regards, Peter Christensen.
Sweet.
Well done. Well done.
The name of his daughter makes me think he's from somewhere else. Did he say anything?
Iris? Yeah, he's definitely from somewhere else. I can't tell. I'm going to say Denmark.
Okay. It's a beautiful
based
name.
On the fact that his email address ends with a DK.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I don't think he's from Donkey Kong.
Or he's not a Death Knight either.
That's right. <Yeah. laughs> You can see where our heads are at right
he's,
there.
He's not it's from perfectly... Donkey Kong or from... or from Arthas's horrible tower of training or whatever the hell it was.
That's right. Exactly.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So yeah, this is Death Cab for Cutie's cover of Bjork's All is Full of Love. I think they make it an even better. Well, I like this version more. I know that's, I usually don't, you know, compare the cover with the original, but in this case, I really do like this one a lot.
Make an exception.
It's from the EP. The Stability came out in 2002. And here is Death Cab for QT.
All right. We'll see you guys on the other side. Brian, check your text there in your thing. You can see that Eddie Vedder comparison. It'll freak you out.
All right.
Crazy. All right. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Just ain't receiving. excellent breaks out, lift up your head and shout, it's gonna be a great day.
Kellogg's waits for you, that spirit comes shining through, promising you a great day. How could you think of starting this bright new morning without your K-E-L-L? Oh, it's double good with Kellogg's, you'll have a great day.
Kellogg's has been making great days for more people for more years with more cereals than anyone. Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes, Product 19. Trust your mornings to Kellogg's.
The very best part of starting your bright new morning is Kellogg's way.
There really is a Kentucky Fried Chicken school.
Durga, durga, durga. This is the morning stream.
Okay, we're back. Boy, Death Cab for Cutie. They're a real they're a shiny thing. Bunch, yeah. Sheesh. They're the cocaine of the music industry.
Oh, I like them. They're
they're fine.
Yeah, there's far, if you ask me, there's far more depressing bands out there than DC4C.
Did you know?
There really is a Kentucky Fried Chicken school.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I don't see how that's a party.
I don't see how that's a party.
Oh, that line. All right, we're back. Welcome back. Slavery.
There's the lunchroom, so they break for lunch at 11 or 12, and then for the next hour there's also bathroom time for another hour before classes start back up again in the afternoon. Lovely. That's how that works. Thank you. How it has to work.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, let's call Justin. We should be just about, well, we're a little early, so I don't know if he's playing. I hope he's, he should know because he was there with him yesterday. So I can't imagine this should be too much trouble getting him in a tad early. Plus, well, he's on the West Coast. I don't know. I just don't know. But I know he had a lot to say on Twitter yesterday about the impact of Robin Williams in the life of people.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect we'll have some of that to speak of, among other things. And we'll find out why he's in the greater Seattle area. What brings him there, really.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us now as we welcome to the program one Justin Robert Young. Hello.
Hi, friends. How are we?
Oh, Lord. Ooh, what microphone are you on? Coming in hot, baby. Coming in hot.
All right, hold on. Wait a minute.
You're getting better. You're better.
You are not cleared to buzz the tower, Maverick.
Much better.
How am I now?
You're good.
A little quieter, but little quieter. That we can live with.
Yeah, we can live with quieter.
Is there a setting between the first one and that one?
Yeah, go up a tad.
Man, I've got all kinds of knobs, man. I can twist these things all day.
Now you sound right. So now give me something. Give me something.
Check, check, check. One, two.
Nailing it. Nailing it. Perfect.
Awesome.
Technical prowess on display like this world has never seen. Justin R. Young, it's always fun to have you on Tuesdays. We have you come on and you talk about stuff and we do things. But today, I swear, it's just going to be all Robin Williams the whole time. It's got to be, right? I mean, there's a tendency for this stuff to explode on the internet. Everybody's talking about it. And then very quickly, nobody wants to talk about it anymore. Mm-hmm. Where's your head at? Right, what do you think?
First, there is one non-Robin Williams thing I wanted to talk about. I'm up a half hour earlier than I would normally be because Chinbeard, Bill Duran, is not here for you guys today. And I just wanted to let you know that I was with him yesterday eating rice and teriyaki chicken and drinking beer. So all of his teachings have been a lie. He's a fraud. And he's finally been unmasked.
Did he wash any of this stuff down with like a big milkshake or a double hot fudge sundae or something like that?
I'm sure. Okay. Right afterward. I'm sure.
Probably.
Went to the Red Robin and ate four of those 90,000 calorie burgers at the same time.
Yeah, it's honestly like finding out that, I don't know, Charlie Chaplin used to murder goats on his weekends or something. You just never know what's going on.
I am not quite seeing the moral equivalency, but I look forward to you explaining it to me.
Well, the point is that, I'm always braced for finding out that something or someone I thought was like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of it, like David Carradine. Okay, here's a good example.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, David Carradine, venerable actor, interesting guy, been around forever, Kill Bill revived his career after all these years, blah, blah, blah. Wait, I'm thinking of the right Carradine, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. David.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved Kung Fu back as a kid. I just thought that was great, and always trying to snatch them pebbles from the old guy's hand. That was good times. Then you find him hanging in a closet, dead, with his wiener out, right? Now, yeah. I'm not saying people shouldn't have whatever private thing they like to do, but it just kind of like you just go, oh, well, that's not the way you want to go. That's not the dirty laundry you want to have out the minute, the last minute you're here.
Didn't his wife have a thing about ninjas killed him?
Oh, really? I didn't hear that. There's a theory that Carradine was killed by ninjas.
I don't, especially as the rest of this segment is going to be about grief and memory and honor. I don't know if I want to suggest that you Google David Carradine ninja theory, or ninja death theory. But if I remember correctly, there was some thought by his grieving widow that all of this had been set up by people who wanted him dead to make it look like he had embarrassingly committed suicide, which was it also a sex thing?
Well, it was supposed to be. Here's the word, okay? Was David Carradine murdered by ninjas? I pulled this from Gawker.com, so take that for what it means, okay?
Yes.
On Sunday, the New York Post ran an article in which attorney Mark Garagos suggested that David Carradine was murdered by a group working in the martial arts underworld, a.k.a. ninjas, and secret societies of the martial artists. We know what that is code for. Ninjas. It was a claim made on Larry King Live, CNN, at the time. Yeah. He's not there anymore. And, so I guess if that truly is a theory, then how silly is that? But I mean, whatever, man. Like, I guess that makes things seem better than they turned out. In his case. Mm-hmm. But my point is, mm-hmm. I'm always waiting for that shoe to drop. Like,
yeah.
What are
we gonna find out? Yeah.
Fred Rogers had a sex slave business the whole time and nobody knew.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I'm getting at. I don't know what that has to do with
neighborhood.
I don't know what it has to do with anything else. Because we were talking about Chin Beard and being a fake.
About
that was
Chin
it.
Beard. No. And by the way, I'm only Bill. Bill, actually, so have you guys talked? He's at this really cool thing with Ryan Connolly that he's doing out here in Seattle that's, like, super awesome. And I had a great time talking with him last night. He's the deer, as is his entire family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
Let's talk about Robin Williams, because that's what I actually had to do a lot of work today. I got this game coming up later in the afternoon, and I got to pretty much do the entire thing because I spent all of yesterday afternoon in a Robin Williams YouTube hole, just kind of going through some of the amazingness that was Robin Williams.
Yeah, I did the same. I ended up watching some of his more famous couch moments on late night talk shows. Some really good stuff with Letterman just a year ago.
Yeah.
When he was promoting that show, he's on with Sarah Michelle Gellar. And then I watched, somehow I ended up getting down kind of a rabbit hole and watched a bunch of these old Mork and Mindy, Shirley and, what was that show with them?
Laverne and Shirley.
So it was called the Mork and Mindy Laverne and Shirley Fonzarelli Hour. And it was old cartoon. It was this horrible Saturday morning cartoon where all three of them would do stuff and they would be their own little segments, like little 10-minute short of Mork going to school or something, then another one with the Fonz, but it was all animated and it was all just terrible Saturday morning fare. I ended up watching a bunch of that for no reason because that didn't even actually have him in it. I don't think it was his voice. But anyway, yeah, I found myself just going down dark paths and trying to find old stuff and whatever. But yeah, it was a pretty seismic announcement when that came out yesterday. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned before the whole, like, you know, people have a tendency to scream and yell about something and then not scream and yell about other stuff. And Twitter's a complicated place, and it has only become more complicated as it has become more popular. But when it comes to this sort of stuff, I find it very odd to criticize anybody for grieving incorrectly, you know? And by that, I mean, if you take it too hard that an actor that you never knew is dead, if you don't care at all that an actor you never knew is dead, if you are somewhere in between, as I would imagine the vast majority of all of us are, that's fine. You know, I think death is the ultimate weirdest thing in the world. Like, it is just something that will always remind us of our own mortality and everything that comes along with it, which is oftentimes, I think, more than just the idea that we're going to die, is legacy, is memory, is have I done enough in life? Have I, you know, sacrificed too much of what is really important to get other things? You know, there's, you know, what will people remember of me when I am gone? How, you know, how many likes will the, you know, my father slash brother slash husband is dead announcement on Facebook get, you know, like, there's
how many, how quickly will Zelda Williams triple her Twitter followership in literally 5 hours after her dad died? Like, things like that. It's a weird place, the internet. It's weird.
It's super odd, and but ultimately, it's like whenever we get into these conversations about the internet changing things, I always tend to look back, and this might just be my own confirmation bias, but I tend to sort of trace back the idea that the internet is really just an amplifier for who we are. And if, you know, we see these weird patterns that are a lot clearer now, it's only because we're getting the view that the board op at the radio station used to get, you know, it's not what makes air anymore. And, you know, it's like that phone that was ringing in the newsroom. Everything didn't make the paper, you know, but they saw a lot more of the stimulus. And that's what we all get to see now,
right?
Because that's what Twitter is. That's what Facebook is. That's what social media is. So when it comes to Robin Williams, you have to wonder, like, how different is he than other, you know, legendary actors or comedians dying?
Right.
You know, and why was the reaction so thick yesterday on a way that, you know, I can't really remember since Michael Jackson? And I think it's just because of how long he was kind of an A-list name in comedy, something that fairly rarely happens.
Yeah.
And
so respected for so long. Just, yeah.
Well, and because he was kind of like the first guy to do everything. Like, he was among the first guys. I mean, there was a point in which it was like the Comedy Store and the Comedy Store and Johnny Carson was effectively like you could have a good 30-minute set and you would be gonna get a sitcom, right? That was like the thing, was that you would do some stuff at the Comedy Store. At the Comedy Store, Johnny Carson's people would find you. You go on the Tonight Show, and then an agent would find you. The next day, you would have your own sitcom. And Robin Williams was the first person to do that. He was the first person to, or among the first people to really hit it big doing the kids' voiceover stuff for Disney when Disney, you know, could not be absolutely, you know, bigger and hotter, and yet made it look like him. You know, the genie in Aladdin. As much as you can kind of look at that and say like, oh, well, he did so much more. Stand-up was amazing. And you know, he was this magnetic, amazing performer. But for many people, including me, you know, the genie was kind of the first time that you got the Robin Williams experience. And I think it was every bit as much the Robin Williams experience. Sure, it was in this weird tale, you know, but it's not like they just made him read the lines. You know, he was doing the Robin Williams shtick with the voices and the, you know, the ups and the downs and, you know, the, that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, No, they did not. That's funny because it's not like he had to. He did not play a role in that movie. He played him, or he played that thing he does in that movie, and they gave him kind of, you know, carte blanche to do that. And I think obviously that worked very much in the favor of the movie, and also just what it means to have what animated comedy is from then forward.
Yep.
It opened that wide, no question about any of that. And you know, people even forget like some of his tankers, like Death to Smoochie or what's another bad movie? There's plenty of them. But occasionally you would sneak in with something like Insomnia or One Hour Photo.
Oh my God. World's Greatest Dad is another great one. If you haven't seen it.
Oh, that's more recent that too, isn't it? Yeah.
That was Bobcat Goldthwait. I mean, talking about dealing with themes of death and legacy. His son commits suicide, who's a cretin. Mm. He is just a terrible rock-headed kid who winds up dying.
Yeah.
I don't know if he commits suicide, actually. Yeah. But he, the dad, an English teacher, writes this like poetic, you know, farewell to life, book, and it becomes a bestseller. And so he sort of becomes an instant celebrity because he has written the book by his quote unquote dead son.
Yeah, wow, that's dark. That's dark.
And it's a hilarious laugh out loud comedy. I mean, it is about as black as comedy gets. But Robin Williams was able to carry it. And there's not a lot of people that I think would really be able to do it.
Such an interesting... I'm looking at IMDb right now. It's such an interesting listing of things that he's been in. And even more recent things like... He was big enough to never have to set foot in something like this. But he would occasionally show up in like Law & Order SVU. Or some other weird show just to kind of just be there or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was in Lee Daniels, the butler, as Dwight D. Eisenhower, which I still haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, there's an episode apparently that people have kind of described as haunting, and I can only assume it because it deals with his depression of Louis. You know, like he was still doing this stuff, you know? He was the best guest, you know, one of the go-to guests for Craig Ferguson. He was on one of the better episodes, apparently, of the Marc Maron podcast. Like, if you were just a fan of things that are, we understand to be contemporary, like, he still had an interest for doing that and for taking risks and for taking chances while at the same time really not changing. You know, like... The Robin Williams, for as diverse as he was, the Robin Williams that's on stage at the Met and the genie from Aladdin and the guy that's on Craig Ferguson, however many years later, are all so recognizably the same people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know if people kind of understand how hard that is to do. And now, of course, you know, we are kind of forced to think, you know, what was the toll of that, if that is even the way that we should look at this, or even the way that it can be quantified. Like, even by stand-up comedian standards, he wore his mania on his sleeve, you know. In a way that you know, when Richard Pryor would talk about his addictions and his demons, they kind of came with a solemn energy, you know, or a solemn tone. He was making jokes, you know, but it was like there was a sense in his voice that if he didn't stop, he was going to die, that his demons would consume him.
Yeah.
With Robin Williams, he would just tell these stories of, you know, alcoholism or, you know, I was watching this, some of his clips from the Met, and he starts out this great little set about drinking with, "I can't drink anymore because every once in a while when I do, I wake up naked with my keys up my ass."
I just heard that last night. That's funny.
And it's, and like, But the thing is, even when you watch that initially, I think part of your brain kind of realized, like, why would somebody start something off like that? Why would somebody start something off that funny if it weren't in some element rooted in truth? And at that point, it's like, he's so funny and that energy is just so over the top. And he's like 5 seconds from there, he's doing the like, oh, the Baptist preacher voice. And the, and you know, like he's doing all the Robin Williams, he's throwing 99 miles an hour. Right.
Yeah.
But there's that one part where it's like, he never dwells on it. It's never like I had to stop, you know, like I've been a year clean and sober, applause line from the audience, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, he's up my ass and we're off to the races on a really funny thing about the relatable idea of getting drunk or getting high.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's so misleading that when he, that whole thing he did, everything he described is true. And that thing he did made you think he was immortal. Like, it didn't feel like any of those problems that he did have to deal with, his severe depression, which he'd, you know, been pretty vocal about, but again, vocal, but then caked it in all this hilarity, right?
Yeah.
You just thought because of that, because of what you were seeing, this guy was just going to be around forever, that he was somehow would rise above it all, just float above it all and would never succumb to it or fight, you know, even beyond just normal mortal death. You just figured Robin Williams would just be here forever. Like if you sat down yesterday and said, hey, Scott, you know, an hour before it happened or before it was announced, who do you think is going to die least of all the celebrities 60 and older right now? And I wouldn't even be on my list, you know?
Be a very weird list to make.
It would be a little creepy, wouldn't it? A little bit.
It'd be an odd, if you called me and said, Justin, can we rank all the celebrities over 60 in order of how quickly we think they're going to die? I'd be like, this is
what's wrong
a bizarre
with you?
Fantasy. Yeah. And I will not be paying my dues.
Right. Yeah. Right. It is a little bit odd for sure to be thinking that way. But, you know, he's just not, he's just so forever there. Like, I think the last thing I heard was, oh, they're making a Doubtfire sequel. That makes sense. Yeah. This far down the road, 25 years later, let's go ahead and make one of those. And you just figured this would just go on forever and he would be nominated for more weird things because he'll show up in some movie and blow everyone's mind. And then he'll do another tour and then everyone will be, oh my gosh, he's so funny. Look at that HBO special. Like, it was just going to go on forever. Nope.
I mean, there was certainly no, I don't think that it would be a very big surprise if you were to rank all the actors over 60 and say which is most likely to randomly win a best supporting actor Oscar. You know, Robin Williams kind of just sort of had to still be up there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he had really lost, like, you know, his chops in terms of.
That is way less morbid, by the way. Your thing's way less morbid than mine, so I appreciate that.
We're working our way up. You know, we're making a list of weird fantasy leagues. That's going to be our new thing.
All right. Well, it's an improvement. Just a side note: Dan Castellaneta, famous for Homer Simpson's voice, he did all the genie work when Robin Williams wasn't doing it. So like. Weird directed to video sequels and video game adaptations or anything Disney did with Aladdin and the Genie outside of the core film, he would do those voices for.
Robin Williams came back, I believe, for one of the direct to video sequels.
Oh, he did.
I believe he did.
Yeah. I did not know that. That's cool.
He made one reprisal of the character, but yeah, I remember as a youth, being very much into the Aladdin movie and watching the Aladdin direct-to-video sequels, and I knew something was up while watching it, and then I knew what exactly had happened when the genie dropped a dough in the middle of things.
You knew what had happened?
Yeah. I'm like, funny. Oh, it's Homer Simpson. That's the Homer Simpson guy. Yeah.
You're right. He did. There was a sequel called Aladdin and the King of Thieves. That was direct to video, and he did the genie voice in there. So there you have it.
But
yeah,
I guess like beyond just kind of marveling at who Robin Williams was, you know, and what was amazing to me was that, you know, and it can rub people the wrong way. when all of a sudden, you know, the measure of a human being is kind of reduced to the greatest common denominator of like what we all know him by, you know? And so, and you'll see this in, you know, sports. It'll be the one play that, you know, like, oh, well, you'll always have this one play that happened that was 5 seconds of your otherwise, you know, like 60-year existence or 70-year existence. Yeah. And it happens with movies all the time. You know, when William Shatner dies,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's just going to be Captain Kirk stuff. You know, like anybody who's kind of so firmly tied to something, that's all anybody thinks about him. And yet yesterday it was so many things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was
very diverse things too.
It was, you know, Captain, my captain, and I'm standing on my desk from Dead Poets Society. It was the genie from Aladdin. It was, you know, clips of him on stage doing stand up. It was almost like you look at that and you're like, man, that's a dude who was just has such a multifold legacy that everybody has these same passionate relationships to him on different levels, you know, connected to different things.
Yep. I saw stuff from really super intellectual celebrity people who are known for being reserved or whatever, talking about how important Mork and Mindy was to them. How when you knew he walked out on set, that was going to be something you've never seen before, and that was going to change the way you kind of thought about comedy or whatever. You saw things real serious like, oh, Good Will Hunting, what an incredible performance, which is obvious, a great performance. But it was that and then everything in between, lots of little things. Even people finally coming out on my side who enjoyed Popeye for what it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was good, damn it. That's what it was.
Now's the time. Now's the time to stake your claim on that, by the way. The Popeye revival is here, Scott. You have waited long enough.
Well, we did it for FilmSack, and it, you know, it was mostly people, fans and people on the show, not liking it. Except me. I really like it. I'm a huge fan. So I feel somehow vindicated. let's make this about me.
Sure. Good luck with that. Whatever it takes for you to be able to prove your point on Popeye. Yeah, still not buying it.
Yeah, it's still not good. Sorry, Justin. Yes, go ahead.
You also can't forget how much he was a huge part of the LA comedy scene in the 70s that really propelled so many different careers, including Jay Leno and David Letterman, as well as so many other people that like wind up getting on TV and I believe Roseanne and stuff like that. Like there's just this really fascinating stand-up scene that through the early 80s, late 70s and early 80s just really, really, really exploded. And he was such a huge part of that as well. You know, it's funny because the only other stand-up that I can remember having such kind of violent manic emotion be part of his art in the way that Robin Williams did. It was a very, very different level with Sam Kinison. Mm. And when you look at it like that, Sam Kinison was another guy with just nothing but demons and addiction issues. And you know, died way too soon.
Sure.
Because of them.
Cocaine but overdose, like, was it? What was it? Something like that. Some drug deal.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. One of those. Yeah, it's always like, you know, when guys like that, you know, when they go out with drugs, it's never just like one thing. It's like, oh, no, it was that epic cocaine binge that happened to coincide with the sleeping pills that he was taking that happened to coincide with the 4 bottles of Jim Beam that were accidentally emptied into his stomach.
Oh, I was wrong. He died in a car accident. Yeah. Pontiac Trans Am was struck head on, so apparently I've had this in my head wrong the whole time. There were no drugs involved in that accident.
Oh, wow. Me too. Wow.
Yeah, weird.
Well, it's kind of amazing to look at those guys and realize, you know, like what that does, you know, like, and I don't know whether it does anything. Like, I mean, I don't know whether or not he was a depressed guy and he also got the most and the best out of life. And we should look at him as an example of somebody that through art, granted, focused through his pain, he got to live a much different life than he would have otherwise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without this kind of expression of his pain on so many different levels, he would have just kind of been a sad guy that would have lived a sad life, or, you know, that it was the continued focus on his pain and the person that he was, feeling the pressure to continue to be the person that he was, mm-hmm. that, you know, brought even greater pain to him. And I don't think we know this, you know, but, it won't stop us from worrying about it because that's the nature of death. Death kind of, you know, kicks open all of these, you know, tightly sealed jars that we keep in our head that it's like at some point, you know, you run through these subroutines enough time that you're like, okay, well, I don't think I understand it, but I understand it enough that I don't need to think about it every day. So we put them, you know, in storage, and then, you know, a big public death happens, or, you know, God forbid, something in your family, and now all of a sudden it's all there. And I feel like we're all kind of in this shared element of it a little bit.
Also, I think it's, and I'm not, this isn't me soapboxing or trying to, you know, turn this into a PSA or anything, but serious depression is real, real bad. And it is no respecter of class or money or notoriety or fame or any of those things. It is this hideous, horrible thing that can affect anybody. And, you know, it doesn't, none of this stuff in the end clearly mattered. In other words, his fame, his accomplishments, his ups and his downs, his achievements, whatever, none of that stuff in the end is a good fight against that demon. It's horrible. And it doesn't care who you are. And it doesn't matter, you know, how good you may think you have it. It just is the worst thing ever. And the stories Wendy tells me about some of her clients and the things they deal with, people in prominence who seem to have it all together and everything's great all the time, have this dark thing that they just drift into and they can't help it. Like it is a chemical, physiological thing that you can't just go buck up and chin up, everybody. It doesn't work that way. And this made it just real painfully obvious. This is a guy with every possible everything. He accomplished all the goals that you would ever think anyone would want to accomplish in the field he chose to work in. And it's yet still not enough, you know? Like it's, and a lot of people are really mean about that. Like they don't understand it. And I'm not trying
like
to.
Like how could you leave us?
Yeah.
Like
that whole thing, or it's a selfish move. Anyone who does that is a selfish jerk because they're leaving everybody else. And what a, you know, they. Clearly, they have zero understanding of it. They don't understand. It's like saying, I don't know, it's like saying that old man didn't run hard enough because his leg has been amputated. But I, you know, that's no excuse. Well, no, it is an excuse. His leg's amputated.
Yeah, I would say that it doesn't necessarily have to be a damning accusation, though, right? Like suicide can be a selfish thing by its very nature. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they were a selfish person or they were out to selfishly destroy the lives of those that they love around them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I hesitate to kind of draw harsh lines, especially like when we're kind of in ground zero of talking about it. But it's I fundamentally believe that we do, like, we are going to look back in 100 years at how we look at specifically the brain, you know, and we are going to laugh at it like it was humors and leeches, you know, and I think that we have a very fundamental misunderstanding of hormones and emotions and brain and mental disorders and stuff like that. And for so long, it's kind of been, I mean, remember, you know, it's only, you know, in the Sopranos, which was what, mid-90s, like even like 97, 96, something like that, that started. Granted, a specific kind of class of people, but like the entire driving force of that series's plot is somebody who doesn't, who is ashamed to go to therapy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like we have such a fundamental misunderstanding of what, of how our brain works and how we should deal with it and what's appropriate and what's not, that it's hard, I think, for us to really do consistently good work with it.
No, you know, we're in the Middle Ages, dude. No question about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. It's like it's, and it's, I hope you're right about one day we can look back and go, oh, well, you know, we were so behind. What the heck were we thinking? And man, good thing we are where we are now. And we've got this all worked out and we have all these amazing treatments and whatever, whatever. But right now, man, it's just bad. And it's, there's so much stigma attached to it that you don't even want to bring it up, let alone do anything about it.
Yeah.
You just think you're horribly sad and you can't understand why everyone else is wrong. And you just, you know, you dig yourself a hole and you try to stay there the best you can. And some people make it through them, and lots of people don't. And, you know, if Robin Williams can't, I hesitate to do this whole reactionary thing where, oh, it took the death of a popular dude for everyone to finally wake up on the issues of mental illness and things like that.
Right.
Well, yeah, I don't know when else it happens though. When else are we going to do it? You know, I mean, well, is it so bad that we have to be reminded because of stuff like this?
A good idea, it doesn't matter when a good idea gets said, you know, it just matters that it does. And yeah. And I think if we don't mention, if you're depressed, please seek help. It's not a problem. You're not broken. If you find yourself just kind of hitting this dark gray wall over and over and over and over and over and over and over again,
yeah,
that, you know, it's like the game that is your life just might be set on too hard of a setting, you know, right. Like we can dial that down. Not everybody has to play like that, you know, and that's not anything that anybody should be ashamed of, you know. It's like, and more so, I think it's far more universal than anybody wants to let on. I mean, listen, we are not as you know, a culture, we are not one. I'm sorry, we are one that celebrates toughing it out, you know, like rub some dirt on it, walk it off.
Yeah.
That's our kind of, and like, there's a lot to be said for that. You know, there's a lot to be said for resolve and dedication and stiff upper lip. Right.
Sure.
But not at the cost of your life.
Yeah.
And not at the cost of, you know, and that's why it's like, I do think that suicide is a selfish act. Doesn't make you the worst person in the world if somebody does it, right? You know, but if you are driven to that, then it is, you know, I think because at some point there are many exits along that highway that you didn't take, and that's what I think we can only suggest to everybody is just do that and also understand that you're not alone. I mean, like, especially as a youth, you know, through my early 20s, you know, I was very depressed about a lot of different stuff, you know, and family trauma or my own life or wondering what I was supposed to do. And, you know, that, and it included contemplations of suicide. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not something that I ever really, I think, got close to or anything like that, and certainly nothing I ever attempted. But, you know, this is not like just like, oh, like the space aliens deal with this, you know. And like, I think it's like people you know and you love and are in your family and you work with and you look at and say, hey, these guys got it all together, you know, like those people too, you know. Everybody, we are a lot more alike on this than we are different. And for whatever reason, we kind of put up walls about not talking about it. And I hope if this brings us even incrementally closer, then that would be a good thing.
I say well said to that. Wendy once told me that Oh, how did she put it? I can't remember how she put it. But she basically said that it's all about, it boiled down to this. Humans are all about preservation. There's instincts in us that say we need to survive. And that this is a side effect of that. Because we think it shows weakness to admit that perhaps something is wrong. We put up a wall and we pretend it's not there. And it's a huge mountain of a normal human reaction that we need to try to get over and conquer, because at some point that does nobody any good, at least in the modern age. So, I knew we'd get a little deep today. I knew we'd get a little, on the side of serious, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Whenever you start to get into those public suicide.
Right.
it tends to suck the joy out of things.
Exactly. You know, what I always think about is like, I don't know, there's somebody, as tragic as this is, but as high profile it is, somebody someplace is hearing about it and getting help because of it. You know, there are those positive things happening. You're not going to hear about them so much. People aren't going to go blab about them on Twitter. But somebody somewhere went, oh, I got to get some help. Somewhere. Somebody did. And I'm not saying it's a good thing that Robin Williams killed himself. I'm saying there is some heart to take with this, that there are people who can benefit from this huge flash of overexposure over a few days' time or whatever. And I don't think it'll even dissipate that quickly. I think people will be talking about this for a while. Expect all the usual suspects to come out with specials and Fresh Air's got some big long Robin Williams interview today that they obviously bumped a bunch of other stuff for, and pretty soon you'll see tributes on late night talk shows, and like, you're going to hear a ton of it, and maybe, just maybe, out
I'm
of all of that.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
I'll tell you what, like, I get it.
Well, the first one.
Clips, you know, like, that's the thing is, like, I'm looking forward to, just the Mork and Mindy's, remembrance, the just the stand-up remembrance, just the acting remembrance. Let me give one recommendation. I think it might be streaming on Netflix too. Not to steal Nicole Spaghetti's thunder, but The Birdcage.
Oh, that movie's so good.
Here's the best thing about The Birdcage. Is because you could see Robin Williams playing the Nathan Lane character.
Yeah.
It would not be beyond his acting talent and ability to do it. But Robin Williams is such a good straight man.
The straight gay man. Punk. Yeah.
Yeah. In that movie.
Yeah.
That was the one I wound up getting caught up watching so much of. And you just kind of look at where, In the scenes where he's when initially the plan is going to be for Nathan Lane to kind of butch up to meet them. If you're unfamiliar with The Birdcage, I guess it's based on a French play, but it takes place in Miami, where the son of a gay couple that runs a drag club in South Beach is going to get married to a Republican senator and his wife. And so it's this, everything's based around them coming together for this dinner and meeting for the first time. And initially the plan is for Nathan Lane, the star of the drag show and therefore the more effeminate, to kind of act more like a man. And that winds up completely going out the window. Oh, because the idea is that the birth mother is going to come in and play the mom.
Oh,
and,
right. Yeah.
And that's not going to happen. But like all these scenes where he's trying to act more like a man.
I love this movie. You're just making me want to watch it. I love it.
There's just such, the Robin Williams performance is so amazing because it could be just schlock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's a very delicate subject. It's a very, it can be just like really tone deaf and hacky. But what makes it for me is Robin Williams playing the straight man and letting Nathan Lane kind of do his incredibly ridiculous sort of Nathan Lane routine while still having this kind of love in his eye. Yeah. Like, there's this very loving, like, no, like, you're being ridiculous. Like, it's like everything that the actor, that the character is. He's like an acting coach and a lover and a friend and a father who's very worried about the future of his son. Like, it's all right there on screen, and it's so like this, the scene that I kept watching over and over and over again is he's trying to like coach him into just like a regular conversation, you know, a manly conversation. And so he's like, ah, you old son of a bitch, can you believe the Dolphins fourth and seven on their own 20, 30 seconds left to go, how does that make you feel? And Nathan Lane's like, oh, how do you think I feel? Betrayed, bewildered.
It is such a good movie. I've not seen it in a while, but I'm totally going to see it. And if you want to see Gene Hackman in the weirdest role ever, that's an awesome role for him.
Yeah.
And it's just great. And Hank Azaria freaking stealing the scene as the weird
maid. Oh, my God. Hank Azaria as the houseboy. Yeah. Fun little Easter egg for Frog Pants listeners.
Yep. That's right.
The scrum of paparazzi outside of the house.
Yeah.
The end of the movie contains the uncredited yet paid extra work of one Andrew Maine.
No.
Oh, really?
But I can't trust him. How do I know if it's really him?
I guess you're going to have to watch the movie. I guess I can watch trust the movie and find Andrew Maine.
96. This would have made him much younger, wouldn't it? How old had Andrew been then?
Oh, I'm not gonna.
You're not at liberty to say.
Do I don't know what I actually know exactly. I know exactly how old he is because he's a very specific number older than me. But I don't want to put that out.
I'm gonna say he was 17, 18.
Sounds legit.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes, that's gonna be our recommendation. Go watch The Birdcage if you want to laugh and be amazed at a performance. There's a movie to do that in, and it's maybe Mike Nichols' best film in my opinion. I love that movie.
Yeah, no, it's so good, and it's also it's a movie that, I mean, that came out in 96.
Yeah,
we're close to 20 years on for that movie.
Yep.
And I don't think that movie would be less controversial today if it came out.
Yeah. Oh no, I completely agree. Man, it handled so many things right. It's just awesome. And just a note, if you don't know who we're talking about, Mike Nichols did The Graduate, Silkwood, bunch of other stuff. Biloxi Blues. That wasn't that great. Whatever. Anyway, he's a big time dude. So go see it. Rent it. It's available now. In stores now. The Birdcage. Also in stores now, Justin Robert Young. You got anything you want to pass on to the fine folks? Are you doing a jury talks tonight? What are you doing?
Jury talks tonight. I'm going to explain to everybody why, as I've said for many, many years, college is a sham. And you should not be going paying for it.
Wow. No controversy there. None.
No.
Zero controversy with jury talks tonight.
Yep.
DiamondClub.tv. What time?
That would be 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific.
All right. Are you in the Pacific Northwest until when? When do you go home? Or when do you
travel? I'm gone tomorrow morning.
Fantastic. Are you in a hotel right now? Is that where you are?
I am.
That is an amazing setup for a portable.
I know. You carry a tripod with you?
I got this little setup because I wound up getting another board. For the studio, so I had already bought a little board, and so I just bring that around, and I have this little arm and a mic, and I can plug in my iPad and play music, and we all have a great time.
What else can anyone ask for? Fantastic stuff. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Justin, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye now. Bye, guys. Wait. I said bye, guys, too loud. All right, there we go. All right. Well, I knew we'd get deep. That's the way that goes.
Yeah, exactly.
So hopefully everyone at home was happy to go deep with us. We got a couple emails to read real quick, and they're brought to you by
the St. Louis Arch Rivals. They're heading to Dallas, Texas to take part in the Gay Softball World Series from September 22nd through 28th. And we're looking to raise money to help offset the cost of new jerseys, like not New Jersey, the state, but actual jerseys that are brand new. Yeah. Please visit GoFundMe.com/DallasOrBust. Donations of $50 or more will get you an official St. Louis Arch Rivals t-shirt.
Nice.
Do it.
All right. Got an email from Tom Walter.
Mm-hmm.
The first vampire fan from the Quaker state. Fellers, he says, have you noticed that Scott pronounces foreign words better than those of his native tongue? I've picked up on this the past 653 episodes, and I was wondering if either of you or the listeners have noticed the same thing, just saying hugs and nuggles, or nuggies. Tom Walter. Is this true? I do better with international names than I do...
I think you screw up. I see, yeah.
I'm an equal opportunity screw up.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't think you do one better than the other.
Yeah.
But I don't think you do any other one more poorly than the other.
See? Okay. Thank you, glass half full over there. Yeah. All right. I appreciate that. Mike wrote in, underscore Mike. On TMS PM, I heard you guys say you would like some anime recommendations. Well, two very good ones that don't include a creepy old man or a talking critter are Cowboy Bebop. I've seen that. And Samurai Champloo.
I think Champion? No, Champloo. Okay.
It says Samurai Champloo.
I was looking at that. It is Champloo. Champloo.
It's 1998 with the Cowboy. Like yeah, I did do it first. 98 was when we got the Cowboy Bebop. I've seen all of that and I love it. It's good. So I've seen a few things and the Cowboy Bebop is one of them. And I also really liked, what was it called? It was ninjas, but I don't remember the name, and I really liked it too. Can't remember the name. Anyway, there's stuff that's out there that I've seen that's okay. Cowboy Bebop's good. Samurai Champloo in 2004, made by the same guys, except it's set in a kind of wacky version of Edo, Japan. It has some gorgeous animation and well-choreographed fight scenes. It incorporates three main characters into a lot of the major historical events of the period as well. Well, that sounds interesting. And if it's the same guys, then I'll probably like it. So I'll check it out. Thank you for that, Mike.
As well. I haven't seen Cowboy Bebop, so
it's good. You should. You'd like it
on there as well.
I think you'd like it. That's it. We're done. We are out. We're done. Thank you all for being here, spending time with us. We appreciate it. It's frogpants.com/TMS for all your TMS needs. You can sponsor segments there. You can read the blog. You can find our archives. Go to the forums. Do whatever you want. It's all right there. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, follow me at Scott Johnson, Brian at Coverville, and the show at Morning Stream. It's going to do it for us. Brian?
Yes.
Do you have music?
Yes.
Then right. Play it!
Hey, Frankenstein, I'm a relatively new listener, 2 months, but I would like to request a song for my 6-year anniversary to my beautiful wife on August 1st. It's a little bit late here, but, getting to it finally. Yeah. She's what inspires me to be a better man and literally the reason I get out of bed in the morning.
Oh, we're losing Brian. We're losing Brian. You're back now. You're back.
Okay.
That's weird. Your internet went weirdy. Or maybe it's still going weirdy. Oh gosh. That's not good.
If that helps anything. Does that help?
Much better. What happened there?
Okay. My laptop, I opened it up to start it charging and it must have started syncing all the stuff I worked on while I was in Vegas.
Probably, yeah.
All my Dropbox stuff.
You're totally fine now. You sound good.
Okay, good. So she's what inspires me to be a better man. Literally the reason I get up in bed, get out of bed in the morning, she wakes me up every day. She inspires me, impresses me, encourages me, and keeps me sane. We've known each other for close to 20 years, been together for 11 and married for 6, and I would not hesitate to marry her again. She's never listened to your show, but if this gets read, I know she will. I'd like to request Happy Together by the Turtles. Thank you. Or a cover, of course. Thank you, and keep on snow blowing those hobo toes, Jesse Bajanaru. And
both requests today, very creative use of the love of the show, though. Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. So I do have a good cover of Happy Together. Those people who like the stuff that I play that's more rockin' should enjoy this. This comes from the Coalition Entertainment mixtape. It came out in 2004. It's Coalition Entertainment sends these out every once in a while. And the first one they sent out, the volume one, was actually all covers. Not all of them have been covers since then. One of the bands on the Coalition Entertainment label is Simple Plan. And here is Simple Plan's cover of the Turtles. I like Turtles. Happy Together.
I like Turtles. Have you seen the kid that we played last week? Yeah. No, not that one. This kid here,
I don't watch the news.
Have you seen the auto-tune the news song they did for him?
No. I'm going to YouTube right now hitting the load button. So as soon as the show's done, I can go hear it.
What is he called? Apparently is his name. Apparently Kid. let's see. Apparently here he is. Oh my gosh, 12 million views, by the way, on that video. Wow. That kid. He is a, he's a genuine viral hit. I'm trying to find the song one. Crap. I was going to have it ready so I could do it here on the show. I'm a little slow. There they are.
I have it right here. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Here we go. I just couldn't find them. In my, I subscribe to too many damn channels. Here it is. Let's hear a little taste of it.
What did you think about the ride?
Brownie. It was great. Boy, it's too scared to see. The brown I only went down the super slide. I was scared half to death. I've never been on white television before. Never, never. I've never been on white television before. Before. A brown song.
That's so good.
He's such a cute kid, too. My gosh. The original video, 20-something million views. That's crazy. Crazy. Good job, kid. Way to go.
Toe-headed butterball, that kid.
Take that remote back from Grandpa. It's your time. All right. That's it. Let's play this. Happy Together. Brian and I will be happy together tomorrow on a brand new episode. Oh. Be here for Nicole, Tom, Moore for your Wednesday.
Clever.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you then.
Think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life. When you're with me, baby, the skies will be blue for all my life. It has to be the only one for me is you and you for me. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and even mine, imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together.
So good, it's like you're there.